Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer period. If you would like to ask a question at that time, please press star, then one on your touch-tone telephone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I'd like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Steve Winsor. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, Matt. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our first sales prospecting call of Q2. My name is Steve Winsor, and I'm the automation sales leader for North America. There are a few people on the phone with me today that I want to introduce you to. We've got Mike Madsen, who is our VP of Tivoli North America. We've got Pete Grulich from our worldwide automation sales enablement team, and Chris Benedetto, our market segment manager for Tivoli North America. Now, Mike, I know you can't exactly tell us how we did in Q1 due to the blackout period. However, I wanted to see if you could give us a few words on how we, you know, did overall in Q1. And also, if you could comment on why the sales plays like the one we're on today are so important for us to develop in quality pipeline.
Thanks, Steve. Certainly Q1 was an interesting ride. We, from my experience, I think we had more cylinders firing than we ever have before, which was great to see. And I'm especially proud of the fact that just, you know, how we did in the, you know, $100,000 to $300,000 deals. In addition to some of these mega deals that we got done. And I think that the team's been doing a great job in, you know, kind of closing what's out in front of them. I think, you know, if I take a look at, you know, what we're trying to get accomplished today, you know, which is around really three things. One is pipeline generation. The other is progression of that pipe. And the third is to make sure that what's in the system is pruned and it's pretty clean. And, you know, I kind of liken it back to, you know, people who have kids, you know, in the 3 or 4 year old range, or you have nephews and nieces, you know, as parents, you need to make sure that the kids are brushing their teeth, you know, twice a day, and you know it's in their best interest, and they could be kicking and screaming the entire time, but you just have to be, you know, on them and making sure that they get into that habit. To me, that is the epitome of what sales is about. You can be maniacally focused about closing what's in front of you, but you also have to do the good hygiene stuff. And I know that prospecting isn't on the top of everybody's list, but it's necessary to make sure that we're putting the right behaviors in the system that we can, you know, sustain ourselves in the long term. So I am, you know, tracking who's coming to this call, and it's not for a punitive reason, but I'd be real interested to know who on the phone is making the investment in themselves, who's brushing their teeth twice a day, who's prospecting 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week, whatever that magic number is, so you get in the habit to, you know, get out in front of this whole, you know, sales funnel and making sure that you have enough deals out in the pipeline that you can focus on to progress, get more revenue in for IBM and more, you know, commissions in your pocket. So, you know, I'm incredibly interested in what we're doing on a week-to-week basis around OI and around progression, and I think, you know, these calls that we're going through today are pivotal in that success. So I'd ask you to, you know, listen to the words of wisdom from the team, afterwards spend a couple of hours prospecting, and let's see if we can get some new customers to buy into these solutions. Turn it over back to you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Now for today's topic. Virtualization is an area that I'd be willing to bet that most of your customers are either talking to you about, or they're your competitors, or they're actually implementing it. Now, as you're going to see from our presentation today, a lot of the Tivoli products that we have support or exploit virtualization. So let me give you an example. I was on a customer call where the customer was using VMware. One of the issues that they had was that they couldn't keep track of the software that was running because there were so many images being, you know, generated out there. And so I immediately started talking about the Tivoli Asset Discovery solution and, you know, how that could help with compliance, but that really wasn't what they were looking for. What they were looking for was Tatum, and they ended up purchasing Tatum, and here's the reason why. They wanted to know the relationship of the software running on the images to the shared resources like storage and networks. So when you're out there looking for virtualization, keep an open mind because this is going to open up a lot of doors to things we traditionally haven't sold to before. Now, our speaker today is Pete Grulich. And Pete is a member of our worldwide sales enablement team and has a lot of experience working with customers who have implemented virtualization. His knowledge and his enthusiasm speak for itself. So without further delay, I'd like to hand it over to Pete to start the presentation. Pete?
Thanks, Steve. Well, Mike had his three P's, pipeline, progression, and prune it. I have my four P's of good sales, and that's being pleasant, polite, positive, and pushy. So let's get out and be pushy on this area of virtualized environments, and let's get started with chart number two. What we're going to take you through today is a win that we had in 2009 where a customer was going through consolidation and virtualization. We're going to give you a view of the CIO or executive level perspective and where virtualization fits into that environment so that you can go out and have a discussion with executives. We're going to talk about virtualization as a way that you can follow the money today because in a recessionary times, they aren't producing new money. We're going to have to follow the money and where it's flowing. And then we'll give you a CIO level selling scenario and how virtualization and Tivoli's handling of those environments can get you where you need to go. Our objectives today are to understand virtualization from a CIO perspective so you can have those conversations with CIOs or executives within your accounts, understand the possible solutions, and enable you to make a call with confidence and talk about the progression of a sale. Let's go to chart number three. Well, I don't want to hurt the feelings of any Minnesota Viking fans out there, but let's start out with a story. In 1975, Roger Staubach threw a pass to Drew Pearson, and it forever has locked into the American conscience the term Hail Mary pass. Then in 1984, Doug Flutie fell back, Boston College playing Miami, and threw a pass in the last 6 seconds for a win. That locked in and it's probably been called one of the greatest passes in college history. But one of the things I think that gets missed when you watch those replays is that it was four solid quarters of football teams going head-to-head. And this is a case where a sale started in February of 2009 and went down to the wire in December of 2009. If you go back and look at the Boston College-Miami game, you'll see that every time Boston College scored, Miami scored. And every time Miami scored, Boston College scored. And in fact, it came down to the last minute in the game. Doug Flutie ran to the coach after Miami had just gotten the ball and said, "Coach, just let them score. Because if we can get our hands on the ball the last time, we're the ones that are going to win." That's the kind of confidence that it takes to win deals. That's the kind of confidence that Terry showed in going into American National Insurance Company. Let's step through it and the progression. They were moving into a significant data center consolidation in 2009, and this opened up tremendous opportunity to talk about tools consolidation by taking out infrastructure costs. But it also opened up some issues because it brought a lot of new players into the mix, and as we all know, everybody has an opinion when it comes to tools. The first thing they did is they started at the CIO level with the sale. Both the client exec and the Tivoli sales rep had access to the CIO. They were both talking to him, and that CIO's goal, as they found out in February, was the biggest bang for the least spend. And you'll see as we go through this that that became the mantra of the sales team and of Terry as every discussion she had with the CIO was talking about the biggest bang for the least spend. Well, the team needed to manage, and Terry in particular, needed to manage the external and the internal customer expectations. In December of 2010, how we all like to hate to hear it, when in the beginning of December the customer says, "Wow, let's move to a POC and let's evaluate everybody and let's really do some heads-down stuff," and it looked like that deal wasn't going to happen and it was going to move into the next year. The internal IBM sales team, afraid to slow down the ELA, were thinking about pulling the Tivoli content out. Well, first of all, there was a strong working relationship between the client exec and the Tivoli rep, and they managed to keep the focus on the Tivoli value to the CIO, the biggest bang for the least spend. The competition in the account was Microsoft and CompuWare, and let's take a look at chart number four at a final note that summarized everything that went on. And to kind of set the story for this, I want to tell you as sales reps that you own your accounts, and Terry owned this account. She called me in, made me drive to Houston in the middle of the worst blizzard that Houston has ever seen in its history. And if there's anything anybody knows, the last thing you want to do is be on the road in a Texas town when there's a blizzard. We're a bunch of idiots. We don't know how to drive. We don't have plows. We're just kind of supposed to wait it out. But she put me on the road. And I want to take you back to that football analogy. She pulled me in, and she didn't use these words, but it's basically what she was saying, is that, Pete, you aren't the quarterback. Pete, you aren't the wide receiver. You're just a lineman. And I want you to go out, and I want you to take out that cornerback and all the objections that we're hearing and bury them in the ground. She arranged for a breakfast meeting. Turns out that one of the key technical influencers had worked with OS2 Warp Server, where I was a brand manager, and we did nothing but talk for about an hour about OS2 and Warp Server and how great the product was, and really bonded before going into this meeting. When we had the meeting, that was successful. Terry followed up with a email that went to the client team, the client exec, and to the CIO. And the client exec made a call on the CIO highlighting these as Tivoli advantages in this area of virtualization, in this area of data center consolidation. First, we're winning because tools consolidation and standardization takes costs out in heterogeneous environment. And Tivoli is the best tool consolidation solution in the industry. They also didn't shy away from talking to the CIO that this isn't going to be an easy decision, and it usually requires a top-down approach. Because if you leave it up to individual departments, they're going to go buy those best-of-breed solutions. And that may make the individual department more productive, but it decreases the efficiency and the effectiveness of the organization as a whole. And finally, we talked about, and she talked about, no other vendors going to have the centralized systems management capability, putting all that systems management information into a centralized database, be able to view it consistently or report against it. And then finally, one of the questions I asked when we were making the call is I asked them, how many of your mission-critical applications are mainframe-dependent? And they said 85 to 90%. And that really helped us to lock in that IBM is the only vendor that has the ability to monitor and manage this environment end-to-end. Whether it's virtualized or whether it's physical, we're the company that can do it. And we found out that they had a large number of custom applications and that Agent Builder is the best, and I will say only, solution in the industry that gives them the ability to do that. And she summarized by saying, our focus is getting you the most benefit with the least amount of spend. So you own your accounts. When you bring executives in, you shouldn't have any trouble looking the executive in the eye and saying, here is exactly what I need for you to accomplish. We went out. I did the lineman's task and made one call. Terry and the client exec were the Hail Mary Pass team that brought this deal in 2009. And this was a consolidation effort and revolved around virtualization with VMware, virtualization on the back-end mainframe, and being able to track transactions between those environments. On chart number 5, just a chart to graphically show you that when you have a data center consolidation and customers are moving to virtualization, although we'll be talking about server virtualization today, it is a much wider and broader topic. It opens up the opportunity for you to be out there making calls on every person in the organization, whether it's the server team, the storage team, the networking team, or the security team. There is people you should be talking to in this space, and you don't have to limit who you're talking to just the CIO. On chart 6, but when you go in to talk to the CIO, what are the problems they're having? Study the Global CIO Survey, and you'll find out CIOs are caught between a rock and a hard place, that most important objectives they have today seem to clash. How do I roll out new service without disrupting existing ones? How do I reduce costs and yet improve services? How do I balance the need to influence business strategy and yet provide top-notch IT support? They're caught between a rock and a hard place, and they're looking for a way. They're looking for someone to come to them and talk to them about a vision and a way that they can pragmatically go after it. If you go to chart 7, it summarizes the CIO, and they're really looking at high-value projects to support their organizations. Take the one on the left about making innovation real. They want to be an insightful visionary to the business and talk about how they can bring more revenue in, how they can increase profitability and drive down costs. And yet they have to be an able pragmatist. They need to move forward slowly and with consistency to ensure that they don't disrupt the services that they have today. Chart 8. And usually I don't put a lot of value in reports that IBM does. I read them and I go, okay, what's this mean? Well, as I was flying to Asia Pacific, I was reading Fortune magazine. It wasn't IT management. It wasn't IT and you or information technology. This is Fortune magazine written to CEOs. And Gerald Shields, Aflac CIO, was quoted in there that the amount of technology he's spending on is the same as 5 years ago, but he's putting more money towards effort that supports the insurer's strategies. This is what's happening. You have to follow the money. It's a recessionary time, and our customers are tightening their belts. But what they're strategically trying to do is move the money towards strategic projects. You need to go in and ask, what are your top three mission-critical applications? What is the availability of those top three mission-critical applications? Which applications are driving the most revenue that you have today? I was just in a call last week with a bank, one of the large banking organizations within the United States of America, and we asked that question, and they immediately knew off the top of their head which application drives more revenue and more money for their organization. Of course, they had other ones that were painful because they had CIO relationships, but they knew right off the top of the bat. If you do not know what the top three mission-critical applications are within your accounts, my call to action to you today would be go ask that very simple question of everybody within your customer's accounts. Chart 9. So how does this have, what does this all have to do with virtualization? Well, you can see that number 2 on the list, when asked to identify their visionary plans for enhancing enterprise competitiveness, virtualization was number 2 on the list. It is top of mind in the CIO office. It is a reason to go talk to your customers about virtualization and take this study in and say, if you as an IT organization aren't focusing on virtualization, on managing virtualization, you may fail your CIO and fail as an IT organization. I'd probably put it more positively than that, but we're internal today. That's the approach I would take. Chart 10, click once. So how do we go and talk about this strategy and roll Tivoli into that CIO study report? Let's talk about the insightful visionary and making innovation real. In this sense, the CIO wants to be an insightful visionary, and as you can see in yellow, high-growth CIOs actively integrate business and IT across the organization, 94% more often than low-growth CIOs. And if you haven't thought about it, when you talk about integrating business and IT, you ought to know what the answer is here already. Hit the page down, still on page 10, but you have to blend that with being a pragmatist. You just can't go in and talk to the CIO, and I think that's where a lot of us are failing today, including myself, when we go in and talk to customers about business service management or talk about integrating business and IT, is the next words out of our mouth have to be, and yet we can do that in a pragmatic, step-by-step way to enable you to achieve a corporate vision. We can enable and focus on your core competencies. You can see in yellow that the pragmatic CIO recognizes that the consistent delivery of existing commitments lies at the heart of every successful IT organization. So they're asking, how can I get to a vision? What is a vision you can help me paint? And how do I get there? And on page 11, the vision is business service management. It's aligning IT with the business. It is identifying the impact of IT, not in operations terms, but as it relates to the business. It's about presenting to the business unit customers a business-oriented dashboard, and how well critical services are performing and delivering to the business to drive more revenue, to drive more profit, and to drive costs down. And yet, the pragmatic approach, as we've seen in the CIO survey, is virtualization. I want to give you a key, and I want to let you in on a secret, and I wouldn't tell the customers this, but we've been doing virtualization within the Tivoli portfolio for years. A virtualized environment to us is no different than a physical environment. Physical server is nothing more than a virtual server, and a virtual server is nothing more than a physical server. They all look the same to us. And we at Tivoli can help the customer be pragmatic in their approach and utilization of virtualization. We can help them through virtualization support the introduction of new services while avoiding the disruption of the existing services. We can reduce their costs, and we can help them provide flexibility. I've changed the term I use now when I do this presentation because of the CIO survey. I used to talk about doing more with less. This CIO survey says that they're focused on doing better with less, not just more. Chart 12. But as the customer moves to virtualization, guess what? It is a big, big problem. You can see here from Gartner Group, virtualization without good management is more dangerous than not using virtualization in the first place. This is a real problem. As CIOs start to say virtualization is the answer, we should be in there saying, you know what, virtualization does cause some problems, And as you heard Steve mention, VMware is a classic case of that, where VM machines can be proliferated at a moment's notice. Chart 13, virtualization causes a problem because the number and complexity of systems expands. Where the customer before had to order a physical server, and sometimes it would take months to put it into place, they can create virtual environments, multiple of them in a day. So they have to track the assets and know what they have. It also aggravates existing problems. How do I plan and implement consolidation? How do I track relationships? Heard that with what Steve was talking about. How do I track system utilization? I knew that at the physical layer. How do I know it at a virtual layer? And guess what? There's no such thing as a virtual problem. When a virtual resource has a problem, it manifests itself as a very physical, big issue. So let's get started and talk about how you can set the vision but have a pragmatic approach towards virtualization. The key to this on chart 15 is to remember first and foremost that there is no differentiatively between physical and virtualized environments. The customer says, can we track environments in a physical world or a virtual world? The answer is yes. And on chart 13, the vision is aligning IT with the business, talking about taking key performance indicators for the business, for the line of business, and showing them what it means in terms of revenue when they have systems availability. It's about visualization to the business of the status of the business. It's not about the status of a resource as a server up or down. It's about the status of their mission-critical applications. Keep the focus on mission-critical applications. What are those mission-critical applications? Wouldn't you like to see that mission-critical application visualized at the business layer so that you know that it's available? And work problems based on business impact. Because as business problems come in, you want to ensure that on those mission-critical applications, those problems are being worked first. Chart 16, you start at the bottom. Each one of these layers that I'm going to talk about can be implemented standalone and can be added value. First, you have to know what you have. That's exactly what Steve was talking about, an automated discovery capability. It helps you to know what you have, how it's configured, to map all the relationships between all the components that are out there, and finally, because you can do all that, to track changes. On chart 17, just to reinforce and visually get that graphic across, how do I find something in my data center? And all the responses I've heard when I've asked that to a customer. You can discover and maintain the components. You can centralize and visualize their configurations. You can establish the relationships between all the components so that if someone changes a VMware image and points it to the wrong place, you know exactly what broke, and you know and can track changes. If you go to chart 18, this is just a reminder that we've just had the largest power systems launch probably in the history of our company, and we support the P7 architecture, and we'll talk about that when we get to the last and final charts. The second step is once the customer knows what they have, they know that things aren't just kind of appearing in their networks and in their environments and in their servers without knowing about it, they need to know the status. And to know the status of a service or of a mission-critical application, you need to have a wide range of monitors, and that's what Tivoli brings to this. You need to have a centralized systems management information capability where you're pouring all that information into a centralized data warehouse. That was critical to Anaco and the win in 2009, to know that I'm pushing all that information to a central store, that I can, across my departments, visualize it, and that I can run reports against all that information, and that I don't become an IT organization knitting together all these point products to get value out of them. And third, our customers need to move to incident avoidance, as we have predictive analytics where we can tell them and let them know that 60, 90, 180 days from now, they're going to have a resource-constrained outage. If you want to find out if a customer has value with Tivoli, ask them if one of their mission-critical resource applications has had a resource-constrained outage recently or slowdown. They've just run out of CPU or storage or disk. If they have, you've got a solution with an ITM, ITCAM set of products. Chart 20, just a chart to show you the breadth and depth of the capabilities that we have in Tivoli. No one can match us for the breadth of capabilities that we have. And when you talk about moving to being an effective and efficient organization, you need to monitor all those environments that underlie a mission-critical application. You can't leave one of those points unmonitored. Chart 21, and don't forget what helped at Anaco, the idea that we have a centralized user interface with the TEP, a centralized data warehouse for storage of information, a centralized common reporting mechanism, and a centralized capacity planning capability to help our customers move to incident avoidance. Chart 22. So if I have that mission-critical application and suddenly it goes down and I've got a lot of events coming in, if all I have out there is a bunch of productive departments, I still have war rooms where people are yelling and screaming at each other. And the question is how do I become an effective and efficient organization? This is where top-down CIO or departmental-level authority is required, because someone has to step in and say, all you little productive departments out there, we're going to funnel those events into a single pane of glass so that when my mission-critical application goes down, along with maybe a network and five other things, I know that you're prioritizing my mission-critical application that's driving the revenue for our corporation, and it's going to drive it to the top, and I know it's being worked first. Chart 23, we have the data to back up the savings that these customers have. If you put this in screen show mode and click on the link, it will take you to a report that you can put in front of your customers and show them the cost benefits of implementing a NetCool omnibus solution within their accounts. These are dramatic earnings statements. Chart 24, centralize who, when, where, why, and what. In our Tivoli whiteboard, we talk about adding context. If you go to chart 25, think of a vision where when a mission-critical application goes down, how often do you think the help desk is sitting there going, gee, I wonder who the WebSphere person is that handles that, or the database person, or messaging's involved, or, gee, that transaction flows into the system Z. Imagine if they could, with impact, just reach into those tools and pull out immediately who owns which applications, bring them up on same time, and have an instant discussion with them saying, hey, is there anything wrong in your area? Anything wrong in your area? And in the scenario I've painted here, Pete, caused the problem because I just went into a maintenance upgrade. And immediately the help desk has resolved a problem, maybe in seconds, that would have taken hours in a war room meeting. Now, this, I'll warn you that 25 is just a painting and a vision. It's not a reality that anybody's implemented at this day, but it's the capability of impact to bring that kind of information in quickly and store it and display it that makes us such a powerful solution for you to sell to your customers. And then finally, on chart 26, you've reached the vision, the ability to show to the customer that we can align IT with the business, that we can put dashboards out there. Let me use an example, because everybody always talks about red, yellow, and green. I would see a vision of a whiteboard or a dashboard for the IT organization that has red, yellow, and green. But for the business line, only red and green. Why would you want to do that? Because if I have predictive analytics, I may turn something yellow in the IT organization that says in 30, 60, or 90 days from now, I'm going to have a red light because I'm going to have a resource-constrained outage. Only the IT organization needs to know about that because the service level isn't agreements aren't threatened today, and they can start working it to prevent a red light. Maybe the business only needs to know whether it's green or red, and the IT organization can have a different dashboard as simple as that, showing them and helping them predict problems and jumping in front of those problems before they impact the business. And on chart 27, you can see the kind of visualization. You can tell a customer anything you want on here since it's still in Chinese as to what those signs mean, so feel free. But these are is the availability of the data centers across the different provinces in China. This is an ICBC implementation that's currently being implemented by the services organization in that environment. So on chart 28, everybody's going to hear about power systems. If you go to the ITM page today, I've loaded up that just at the end of March, we've shipped the latest monitoring power system agents that enable us to start showing and displaying some of the latest technologies that are shipped in the P7 architecture. You should never lose a monitoring opportunity in a power systems environment. We are leading edge. STG is shipping our agents in their BIOS environments as part of the hardware. So there is no way that BMC or anybody can match the capabilities that we have in these environments. And in summary, on chart 29, you need to help the CIO and staff achieve VSM in a pragmatic way. That was what I started out with, the fact that the CIOs need a vision, as you can see on the right, of business service management, the fact that they can show to the business that they are corporate partners in growth, corporate partners in driving revenue, corporate partners in reducing costs, and yet achieving that in a pragmatic way, talking about virtualization, the problems that the customers are going to have today, the fact that VMware is going to proliferate, that people can create VMware images and lose track, and talk about the fact that we can tell them what they have, what are those VMware images are, how they're configured, what's installed in those VMware images, and then we can tell them what changed. And then step to the next and say, we can tell you with ITM and ITCAM what the status is of those virtual partitions are. Are they up? Are they down? Are they requiring more resources and growing dramatically that you're going to have a resource-constrained outage in 30, 60, or 90 days? And then talk about the events as they move to more and more virtualized environments, that we can flow those events up into a centralized place, and talk about the mission-critical applications. Do you really want your mission-critical applications to be caught up in an event storm, or do you want it to be filtered so that your IT organization is just focusing on those mission-critical applications when the stress is on, that you know they're working in the right place? And then finally, they can achieve the vision, seeing that the business service management and the views, and show the business that they're driving and providing availability and bringing information to the line of business so that they know they're a partner in growth. And finally, take a look and see the starter questions and backup that we've drafted up for you to go talk to your customers and about mission-critical applications. They'll be glad to talk to you about it because it's why and how the business is running. And then finally, on chart 30, take some online education. I know I've talked fast today. That's one advantage of talking to the Americas team, is I can talk fast. If I did this presentation for China or for Europe or for anywhere else in the world, I'd have to cut the number of charts in half and make the points much slower and clearer. But I know it's a lot. So slow down, put the show in screen mode, and take a couple of classes. If you have power systems environments, take the introduction to power systems so that you know what a VIOS, an HMC is, so that you can talk to your brethren about power systems and how ITM can monitor that. Get outside of your comfort zone and go talk to the hardware guys and ask them some questions about their mission-critical applications and how you can help them. Introduction to ITM for virtual servers will help you understand the VMware environments and how we support those so that you can have a cross hardware platform discussion after taking these four or five courses. And as always, my education is available in the IBM Media Library. So hopefully I didn't talk too fast. I think I came in on time. Chris, are you there and ready to go?
I am. Thanks, Pete. Great job.
Hey, well, Chris, Mike, real quick. So, you know, it's interesting, Pete, because, you know, I get a couple of things out of this which really struck me, and, you know, I just wanted to drive it home with everyone else. And that is, you know, you talk about being an insightful visionary. And
absolutely,
you started with having a discussion with the CIO about what their concerns are or what they're dealing with in their environment. Virtualization, for everybody's benefit, adds another layer of complexity into the environment. So you're going to get lines of business who only care about, let's say, delivering sub-second response time. So for them, the quickest way to do it might be to be start up a number of extra VM images or to move workload around. All that change and complexity gives IT heartache. So in order to be insightful, you might ask anybody in an organization, I see you're on a virtualization strategy. Does that lead to additional complexities for you? How do you deal with, you know, the increasing rate of change? As you're dealing with this, who else in the organization is affected? How are they affected? Do you mind if I talk to them? Find out what, you know, their pain points are. What other consequences do you see as a result of being able to, you know, move at a faster rate of change than you ever have before? What really struck me, Pete, in your pitch is, you know, you think about the rate of change today.
Yep.
5 years ago, we did not have this rate of change. Imagine what the rate of change is going to be in the next 5 years. If they're not ahead of it now with discovering through Tatum, managing events through, you know, the event console, being able to visualize key performance indicators and to plan and get out in front of them and to see what business impact is, they may be able to get by today. They're not going to be able to get by in 5 years. That's about being an insightful visionary.
Yep.
So I wanted to read that back to you, Pete, because I thought you were 100% right on target with how you have these insightful discussions.
Great, Mike. Thanks. Chris.
Yep, thanks, Mike, and thanks, Pete. So if you like the way that this call was structured with a customer example and some thought-provoking questions and market data, you're going to love the upcoming calls on storage security and asset management. Each call is going to major on, as Mike likes to say, an aha story or two to kind of give you an idea of how to start a conversation or how to, drop some information on your client that may interest them in our capabilities. And it's not going to just be about products and product sales motions. So I'd ask you, as you're looking at page 31 in the call to action, to really book the time now for the rest of these calls, because if you like the way this call went, you're going to love the upcoming calls. And just note that that security call is going to be a two-part call because it's a little bit longer. We're going to add some content in there, both about ISS and Z. The second piece of the call to action is related to Mike's good habits that he mentioned earlier. You got to get in there and you got to clean up that pipeline, and you got to take these examples and prospects. So what I put together here are some of the tools to help you do that, and on the next page is another set of tools. But go in the on target. Use OneSource. Use iProfile. If you need help with it, call me. I'll help you walk through this stuff and pull out that Rolodex and leverage your business partners. But it's really key that you take the next step and action this effort and strategies that we've laid out here. And then again, along the lines of good habits and kind of pruning and cleaning your pipeline, Mike and I want to take a look in a few weeks here at the OI related to these sales plays. So we want to take a look at the actual tactic code. So I just put them in here. They're also in the invitation that's on your Lotus Notes calendar. So you could always go back to the Lotus Notes invitation and see what the tactic code is. It's embedded in each Lotus Notes calendar entry. But hopefully you don't lose this presentation and you can just pull them from here. And then the last point I want to make before we move to slide 32 is, let's go for, the Stanley Cup. Let's go for all the glory here. Let's get these customers excited about this, and let's drive them to some of the marketing activities so you can actually get the win here. So go to page 32, and what we've put together here is a look at some of the key tactics and deliverables that are going to be in market in this quarter for you. So did you know that there's a webcast coming up on April 15th? And there's the link right there for the PDF invitation and the customer registration page. Get it out to your clients that are in the noticing or identifying stage, or maybe already in identified or validated. Did you know also that there's going to be a teleconference coming up on OmegaMont? There's a white paper that's available now. There's even going to be an analyst webcast coming soon. And then there's a number of proof of technology and remote labs that you can actually access to show the customer and actually let them play with the actual automation tools and capabilities themselves. So what this page is trying to do, I know it's a little bit of an eye chart, is to sort of lay out for you who we're targeting, what sales stage might this tactic or deliverable be used at, what is the tactic and deliverable so you can actually get access to it, and then a few key points about it. So I hope you find this useful. If you have any questions or feedback about it, contact Greg, who is your local kind of marketing manager, and maybe not your local marketing manager, but he's the marketing manager for automation, or Erica, or you can always contact myself, Chris Benedetto. So I hope you found this presentation useful, and what I'm going to do is hand it back to Pete to close, and to Steve and to Mike for Q&A. So, Pete, I'll hand it back to you.
Okay. So, operator, I think we're ready for questions. If you want to open up the mics, is that right, Steve?
Yep. We got about 18 minutes for questions.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone telephone. To withdraw your request, you may press star, then 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 now.
You know, Steve, one of the common questions I get is about market share in the virtualization environments. And while we're waiting for that first question to come in, VMware is far and away the market leader with about 80% on Intel. And Hyper-V, though, is coming up fast because Microsoft's given it away. And I think one of the key points that we can make out of here that's kind of a product point, but it's important to our customers, that a lot of customers are looking at Hyper-V as well as VMware, and we're a vendor that supports both. So customers that are looking, you know, on the Intel platform, trying to keep their options open until we can support those options. And we really don't care whether they head down a Hyper-V path with Microsoft or a VMware path. We can take care of both of them. Is there any question now?
Yes, our first question is from Jim Martin. Your line is open.
Hey, Pete, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Jim, got you.
Okay, cool. Hey, you mentioned that the monitoring agent is now bundled on the new P7 hardware. Can you talk about how, if anything, has changed in relationship to the management edition, enterprise edition for AIX? Are we still selling those packaged as before, or the license is excluded now, or just the agent as kind of a seed license? Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Yeah, sure. Probably take me about 30 minutes to get in all the details. So what I'll probably do, Chris, is send you a link to the new Excel page that we've got up. I've got a high-level overview of the information there. But, Jim, at a very high level, Management Edition for AIX is still being sold, and it can be sold right now. I think the forecast is through the end of June. And there's duplicate payments to both Tivoli and STG. The IBM Director Editions have been announced. And there is three versions, a Express, Standard, and Enterprise. And Enterprise includes ITM and TATM, and that is the direction of the future. So what you will see happening in this month, most likely, is a announcement that we're going to take ME for AIX, withdraw it from marketing, which means you won't be able to sell it anymore. That right now is not forecasted to happen until July, so you have a window of opportunity to go sell ME for AIX. But those customers that have ME for AIX will be moved at no charge to IBM Director Edition, Enterprise Edition. So you have a window of opportunity to go out and sell either ME for AIX or IBM Director, System Director, Enterprise Edition. The change in compensation, though, with IBM Systems Director Enterprise Edition is that it's 50-50 rather than 100% to both. Any follow-up questions, Jim?
So we both get paid, it's just half and half instead of two.
Yeah, but there's a price increase that's pretty large, so I think the overall the 50-50 will actually bring in more revenue than the ME for AIX did in the past. The opportunity here is to go sell ME for AIX. Now, you can't talk to customers about this other than under NDA until the formal announcement hits, which should be mid-April. Once that hits, you can go talk to customers about buying ME for AIX and then upgrading them to IBM Director Enterprise Edition. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what piece is included on the P7 now that's shipped?
But any power systems today that ships includes a couple of agents from Tivoli, and I don't want to get too technical, but two agents, the VIOS and the KEK agent. But the bottom line is that we're constantly refreshing those agents and staying up with the latest technology. There's some new ways that the Power 7 architecture uses memory, and we've just shipped a release at the end of March of ITM that supports that new infrastructure. So from a sales perspective, the key to remember is they're shipping our agents. BMC can't do that against the competition. And we've just shipped a release at the end of March that's starting us down the path of exploiting and monitoring and managing the latest power systems technology of the P7 architecture. Does that help?
Last question is to clarify. In order to use those agents, will they have to license at least one license of ITM, ITCAM?
That's correct. We may ship an agent with it, but they have to buy ITM to be licensed for it. So somehow or other, they have to have a ITM license for that server, whether it's through Management Edition for AIX, ITM, or IBM Systems Director Enterprise Edition.
Come out. Got it. Sounds good. Thanks, Pete.
Sure, Jim. Good selling, man.
Yep.
Next call.
Our next question is from Bill Stedman. Your line is open.
Yo, Bill.
Hey, Pete. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. You're going to ask a tough question, I know.
Oh, this is really going to put you over the wall.
You business partners always asking hard questions.
Yeah. The links that you put on your slide 30 are not available to IBM business partners. Is there another way to get out there to the IBM Media Library?
for the online education?
Yep.
Yeah, they're all in the Tivoli Virtual Sales Academy on Partner World.
Oh, okay.
I apologize, Bill. I didn't realize business partners were going to be on the call, or I would have had a chart just for you, man.
You pointed me in the right direction. I've been searching for it and haven't been able to find it, so I'll go get it now.
The key on that, Bill, is I looked just the other day, and I don't think they've updated the new classes yet. They were supposed to have that done by the end of March. I'm not sure if that happened. Why don't you send me an email and let me have my guy go check and make sure that they've got the new, because otherwise you'll get the old classes from 2009.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
Our next question is from Grace Kim. Your line is open.
Hi. Just wondering where in Siebel we need to put in those tactic codes.
Hey, Chris, that sounds like yours.
Grace, I'll have to get back to you. I thought it was just in the opportunity record itself. So let me get back to you with the specific field
right.
that you're going to populate it with.
Okay, because I had a problem with putting pulse codes, and eventually I just had to send it to a marketing person who sent it to somebody else. So if it's on these charts, if you can specify where exactly in Siebel we're supposed to be putting these codes, I think it'll be helpful.
Yeah, and we can always use the lead desk to automate some of this, or at least outsource some of that to the lead desk. But I'll look into it and get back to you, Grace. What's your last name, Grace? Or just send me a same time, please.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're on Do Not Disturb, Chris. I can't even reply to you.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe for next time what we should do is put a screenshot of the right Siebel field.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Grace.
Yeah, the other way, while we got everybody on the phone, is there's a link, I think, right in the middle of the page of 31 where all the marketing assets are listed. That will automatically open an email to the lead desk for you to just send off and say, please tag this opportunity so you can send it off to the team in Canada to do it. So I'll find out the information, but I just wanted to point that out, that in the middle of that page, if you click on the tactic code, and we'll do this in each subsequent call, it automatically opens an email to the lead desk for you.
Next call.
Our next question is from Paul Richard. Your line is open.
Paul, you always ask hard questions too, man.
This will be an easy one. Hey, everybody. Pete, do you have like a sample email that we can use to kind of blanket all of our customers? I do a periodic mailing with various events and things like that. If I had a, something that you guys kind of thought was just the appropriate wording to kind of pique some folks' interest, I would start doing mailing after every one of these prospecting things with whatever that verbiage is.
Sounds like a marketing to do for me.
You know, Paul, can you use what's on slide 35, or is that too...
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Mike, because I started to flip through the press thinking there might be something that I could steal. I mean, this is I could piece some of this together and build one. I was just thinking if there was one out there or if there was a standard process to start, providing this every time we do the prospecting thing, it's just going to make it that much easier to get it out to our customers.
Almost like a summary of how can you be relevant to the customer's eyes around, in this case, virtualization, like a summary.
Exactly. In fact, Mike, I was looking as we were talking here. I like the presentation that it's like the e-learning presentation that I guess I'm not sure. Pete, I guess you put it together.
Right.
The technology problem it causes.
Yep.
I would like a deck like a customer consumable deck like that too.
Okay.
Is there such a thing out there, or can I just take this one and remove all of the learning for growth stuff and forward it around? It's got a lot of good, just details that I'm sure high-level executives don't give any thought to, and their lower guys are probably keeping this stuff away from them.
Yeah, I have no problem with you taking the stuff off my learning courses and using it. That's what it's there for. I just haven't, and normally I do that, Paul, I just haven't had the time this year to go around and sanitize them. So if anybody wants to steal any of my presentations and make them customer deliverable and then send them back to me, I'll post those up for everybody to use.
Okay, I'll take this one and clean it up, Pete, and I'll send it back to you for your review.
No problem with that at all. The other thing that I may be able to do is I'm working a CEMEA event, and I've got a blanket letter going out to ask to their customers on mission-critical applications and trying to drive customers to their event. I'll send that to you, Paul, to take a look at, and if you like it, then let's get it. Figure out how to get it posted, Chris, somewhere where the guys can use it, guys and gals can use it.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys. That was it.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our next question is from Michael Hunt. Your line is open.
Thank you.
It's like old home week here, man, Michael.
Hey, good old days.
So you going to close another deal?
I'm sorry?
You going to close another deal?
Always. The question regarding Siebel and the tactic coat, unfortunately, I'm trying to get into Siebel now with this down. But anyways, when you to answer that question, you create your opportunity and you'll see it'll say source on the left-hand side of the screen. If you click opportunity source, if you click on that button or twisty, what will happen is a window will pop up. Window will pop open. So all you need to do is actually copy and paste the tactic code into that. There's a find button, which is great, right? So when you click on that, it'll actually automatically go in and find the Siebel code for you, populate it into your opportunity, and you save it and you're done. So again, I went through that kind of quickly. So you create your opportunity, the opportunity source, twisty on the top right-hand corner of your opportunity. You'll see opportunity source. Just click on that button or twisty, and then you'll see a find button. All you have to do is copy and paste the Siebel tactic code, any Siebel tactic code in there, and click on find, and it'll find it for you, and just click on add, and away you go.
Okay. Thanks, I appreciate it.
No problem.
Did you have a question, or are you just calling in to be a subject matter expert today?
I just love hearing your voice, Peter.
Any more questions?
Not for me, no thank you.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Next question, if we have one.
At this time, I have no further questions in queue.
We will run out.
This is Mike. So what we're trying to do here is to make this really resonate with the field to, you know, in this case, Tivoli is relevant in any virtualization discussion. In fact, you should be seeking them out, whether it's server virtualization, storage virtualization, application virtualization, and we're relevant because of change and complexity introduced. Any suggestions that you guys have as, you know, recipients of this presentation that would make this more impactful for you, I'd encourage you to send myself or Chris Benedetto or both of us a note. What we're trying to do is, if you guys are going to spend the hour with us, that this will help you become more relevant with your customers, more insightful with your customers. If you have things that you could recommend that we do for moving forward on these calls, I want to make sure that this is absolutely worth your time, because it certainly is worth my time and our time to present it to you. So I did want to make sure that I asked you guys for that feedback. Paul, I got your message about how do we do like a, you know, cut, paste, send summary, right, so that you're not trying to recreate different aspects of whatever the message is. So I have that to do.
I'm just great to create work for all the follow-on speakers, Mike.
That's why you go first, Pete.
Do you have any more questions? Anybody queued in?
At this time, I still have no questions in queue.
This is Pete. I want to thank everybody. I'll let Steve close it down because it's his call, but I want to thank everybody for dialing in. Remember the four P's of being a great salesman: pleasant, polite, positive, and pushy. Cheers and good selling.
Thanks, Pete. Well, thanks to everybody for joining the call today. We appreciate it. What we'd like you to do is sometime this week set aside 2 or 3 hours and think about what you learned today and apply it. Talk to your customers. Get out there. Contact them. Get the people involved on this phone call today. Get your local field people involved. We're all here to help you. There are lots of resources. So with that, thank you for joining our call today. Look forward to seeing you next week on next week's topic, and have a good week selling. Thank you.